As I give talks around the world, I sprinkle my talks with humor, with unconscious humor. As I give talks around the world, I sprinkle my topics with unconscious humor. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. As I give talks around the world, I sprinkle my topics with unconscious humor. This sense of humor is the shock absorber in my talks, giving a smooth ride over the possible obstacles to understanding which may be in the way. We very seldom realize the power of humor in our sharing, in our living. And when you can get people to laugh, all of a sudden you forget your madness. You forget your unhappiness. You forget your feeling of irritation about something. When you can tickle a baby, he stops crying. And when I tickle Rex, then he just stops doing whatever he's doing. He says, oh, more, 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 you know. I'm yours forever and ever and ever, you know. Humor is like that. Humor takes away the seriousness of things, which should have been taken away before it even began. But it takes away the seriousness, and it sort of opens us up to the happy attitude about it. A feeling of goodness, a feeling of right, a feeling of joy, a feeling of peace, a feeling of love. And also, it is like a shock absorber, like we say here. This sense of humor is the shock absorber in my talks, giving a smooth ride over possible obstacles to understanding which may be in the way. Now, you may have something silly in the way, like an obstacle, like we've been discussing reincarnation recently. And one of the obstacles that's in the way of reincarnation is that if all time is now, then where does reincarnation begin and end? Well, we should not be too tough on reincarnation, because reincarnation is the evidence and the activity of the human mind. Mm-hmm. It's created by the human mind, and it's experienced by the human mind. It has nothing to do with our divinity. It has nothing to do with our spirituality. It has nothing to do with our immortality or our immortal quality, our eternality, you know. It has nothing to do with it. It's not bad, but this is the bag over here of eternality, and this is the bag of illusions or humanness. Now, we say that humanness is a temporary thing. Humanness is an illusion, and it's not our reality. Now, if we want to play in our temporary illusions, we can do it any way we want. Now, I have decided that in my next experience, that Ellen is going to come back as a pussycat, and Sylvia is going to come back as a mouse, and Igor is going to come back as a klapperschlanger, you know. But a good one. Now, is the klapperschlanger good? Is it a friendly one? Is it one that is just doing its thing and enjoying itself? This morning, as I walked along the path, Rex stopped to pick up a stick, as he always does, so he has something to carry. Being a retriever, he likes to carry things. And this stick disturbed me a little bit. And so I looked at it, and I thought, gee, I wonder what that really is. And I said, give that to me for a minute. So he gave it to me, and here it was, the whole hind leg quarter of a rabbit. Somebody had had breakfast there, and this was left over. It was dried, but it was, you know, from a few days, but it was from a rabbit. And I said, Rex, you really don't need somebody else's breakfast. You got lots of good food at the house. He said, okay. So, you know, he doesn't care. And I didn't take it away from him. I didn't force him to give it up. I said, hey, you don't need that. He said, I don't care. You know, so, but you see, now, that rabbit could have been Rex's father on a previous existence, you know. And Rex certainly wouldn't want to be carrying around his father's bones from a previous existence, you know. And if he did that, that would that'd just not be a nice thing to do, you know. Or it might have been something else. It might have been his wife in his former life, you know. And so here she was, you know, being eaten up by the coyotes. And I don't think that's the way he had planned her to go, you know. So, you see, you're laughing, you're smiling, and this is the humor of reincarnation. Now, nothing is wrong with reincarnation. Nothing is wrong with any of these things. It's only what level of consciousness are you choosing to aspire to? Are you choosing to remain on the human and play all the human games, which is fine? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we all do constantly and constantly and constantly. Or do you want to raise your sights to the eternal, to the immortal, to the absolute, to the divine? And when you raise your sights to there, then all these games that played down below are sort of just games. Mm-hmm. It's like a movie. Now, if you go to the movie and you see a movie and it's a very fascinating movie filled with love story, oh, such passionate, joyful love, you know, and being just delighted and so, you look at, you know, and then when the movie's over, then you go back to your normal world, and then somebody says to you, Esther, you've changed. And Esther looks at the person and says, what do you mean? Well, since you went to that movie the other night, you have become the heroine of the movie. What do you mean? Well, you have changed your way of dressing. You have changed the way of carrying yourself. You changed the way of responding to people. You are exactly like the heroine in the movie. Just like the beautiful damsel. So glorious. And you're acting like you're wealthy. And you're acting like you're healthy. You're acting, you know, like all these things. And so you say, oh, I just jumped to reincarnation, an incarnation, you know. And I decided that that's what I used to be. And I might as well be that continually. I might as well just continue. But see, I had a break in there. And I stopped when I was dead, you know, and came back. And I didn't come back fully realized as what I had been. And, but Esther, you can't do that. You know, that doesn't work. Why not? Well, because that doesn't work. Well, look, this is my life. This is my reincarnation. This is my choice. I can be anything I want. I can be anything I want. If I want to be this beautiful woman with lots of money and lots of class and stuff, I'm going to be her. And, well, where do you get the money? Hey, I am that woman with that class and with that money. I don't care where it came from. You know, it just manifested out of the infinite because it was always there anyhow. And so she plays this game so well that people look at her and say, your name's not Esther. Your name is Isabella, you know, or something like that, you know. And some real high flutin' tootin' being. And then you too. You're not the Esther that they knew. You're not the charming young woman that had been, you know, keeping everybody in the awesome spell of your wisdom. You are now the Isabella, you know. And Isabella can be awesome and wise too. But you see, what difference does it make? Now, Esther says, you know, you're in the ballpark. That's an incarnation I could see for myself, and it's fun. But it's all human, and if it's all human, it can be just as real as anything else that is human, and it can be enjoyed just as much as anything else. But you see, when you get a little spot of humor in there, you know, like she went to the movie, and saw the movie and some. Yeah, I forgot. I'm this person, you know. And like that, you know, just like a click. And like a click, she's got this lovely home. Like the click, she's got all this money. Like the click, she's got this personality. Like, and she may not have changed anything. Her physical body may look exactly like it always has looked because it is a good-looking body and a good-looking mind and a good-looking face. And so she's got everything. And why didn't she do it sooner? Why didn't she do it sooner? She didn't see the movie. Now, a little humor thrown in there, you know. Yeah, but true, you didn't see the movie. You did not remind yourself that you want to play the game. All right, now, Esther. Say you want to be Cleopatra. You know who Cleopatra was?
Cleopatra.
You verstehe?
Yes.
Okay. You want to be Cleopatra. So, what does she do? She loves Cleopatra. She thinks I'm Cleopatra. So, she can do it in several ways. She can say I'm Cleopatra and just act like it and intuitively, instinctively know the thing to do. Okay? What are you going to do with Anthony? Another Anthony. Yeah. But you see, or she could go to the library and read up on Cleopatra. She could go into the internet and find out all about Cleopatra. She could take all the movies that are available on Cleopatra and see what her life is like. And with every movie, she just becomes more, you know, a Cleopatra-ish, you know. And why not? Why not? Do you think that people are not affected by the movies they see?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people are not affected by the actions of other people in life?
Mm-hmm.
Please, you are a woman. Act like a woman. And you're a teenager, you know. You're a woman. Act like a woman. All right, you know. And immediately you think whatever a woman should be is how you're acting. And you change yourself, click, like that. You know, because you choose to act like a woman. All right. You are such a tomboy. You're always acting like the boys. You know, you're always climbing trees. You're always running out in the yard. And you're always playing around. You're always playing with the boys on the rough and tough stuff. Not as a girl stuff with the boy stuff, yeah. But the rough and tough stuff. You're just a boy. You really are. I don't know why you have the girl's body, but you're just a boy. And so you go through life acting like a boy. And you're not really worried sexually or anything else like that, whether you're a girl or a boy, but you act like a boy. Now, we've met a lot of ladies who they call themselves lesbian sometimes, and they call themselves lesbian with the masculine aspect. But there's a lot of people who are not lesbians, who have masculine aspects about them, and they like their hair cut short, they like to wear masculine type clothing, and hey, cool, you know. But where did they get that idea? Were they their father's little boy, or the little boy their father never had, you know, and the father just treated them like a boy, and, you know, bought them baseballs and bats and footballs and stuff? But you see, where does it start? Where does these directions, but I'm not trying to say that's important. That's not what we're talking about. That is how quickly you can change from one attitude of your beingness to another. And when, what is it, the many lives of Virginia, something or other, each time she would click into a personality, she'd be that personality. Quite different from the other personalities. And yet, you did not feel at all uncomfortable with her in any personality she chose, because she played it very well. How could she do that? How could she do that? How could she play, act these parts and do so well? How could she have 12 theater scenes at one time? She goes to this show and she's Desdemona. She goes to this show and she's
Hamlet.
Yeah. Get away from those. Okay. Well, what about Ike and Jake? The couple that went to the other zone.
Leopold.
And
Kate.
She could be a Kate. Could she be Kate? Mm-hmm. Now, what? Kate had several characters in there too,
mm-hmm.
And Leopold played several characters in there too. Several aspects. And you see, in one movie, they're playing several attitudes, you know. Several attitudes. And in one movie, Leopold changed from a person who had high principles to include her principle of saying it was good because they had to make the product go over. You see? Now, boom, boom. You know, you say, never, never could he ever change his principles for nothing. He was so pure and so perfect and so faultless, you know what I mean? And then the minute he did that, you thought to yourself, Achilles heel. The Achilles heel. He had that area of his life where he could be manipulated. And you see, that tells you something. That tells you how our personality has an Achilles heel, perhaps. And if we know what it is, we should protect it. If we don't know what it is, we might be thrown pillar to post by our Achilles heel. If your Achilles heel is that you love chocolates, stay away from chocolate. You know? And you know it, stay away from chocolate. If your Achilles heel is that you like screen magazines, you know, and you like to read all about the actresses and the people who are on stage and so forth, and you could sit by the hours and read it, you know, and it's not very supportive of you accomplishing anything in your life. So you tell yourself, I will not do that anymore. I will not buy them anymore. I will not even walk by the bookstores or the magazine stores that sell them. Because if I go by them, I'm pulled in like a magnet, you know. And you just have to, you know. Have you walked down the street of any city in the world, and have you gone by the magazine racks? And have you been uninterested in looking at the rack? You knew it was there, but you didn't see one thing. You didn't see one newspaper. You didn't see one magazine. You had no interest in it. You maybe had something else on your mind, but you went by. Now, the grocery store you want to go to is right behind the magazine racks on the corner, you know, magazine sales. And so you say, oh, magazine sales, there it is, there, the grocery store right behind. You did not even stop. But you see, this is what you have to always watch yourself for. If you know you have an Achilles heel, if you know that you have something that is going to take you away from the purity of your purpose in life, you avoid it. You can master it if you wish. You know, you're not being tested, you're being fortified. You can master it and thereby not be touched by it. But why master it? Why spend time on telling yourself, I'm not fat, I'm not fat, I'm not fat, I'm not fat, when you want to be slim? You know, spend time on saying, I'm slim, I'm slim, I'm slim. You know, spend time on whatever it is. I do not read these screen magazines. I do not read the screen. Hey, all right. I read the Tarzan magazine. I read the Tarzan magazine. You know, one extreme to the other. But
both
yeah. But you see, this is what we do to ourselves. This is how it is. But as I give talks around the world, I sprinkle my topics with unconscious humor. The humor is not the main part of the talk. It just comes up because it's a natural response to what's being said. The sense of humor is the shock absorber in my talks, giving a smooth ride over the possible obstacles to understanding which may be in the way. So you too can let yourself have humor in your life, and have smiles in your life, and have sparkle in your life. Because as you do, then everything opens up for you. Yeah. So, you all have a lovely day. And put more humor in every way.
Thank you. I love you.
Thank you.